Welcome in, everyone, to the 71st episode of the Deep Dive Dynasty Podcast. We're about a month away now from the start of the NFL season. Incredibly exciting, and guess what, guys? I got my co-host back.
Oh, good Toby evening. Is back. Good evening.
We, of course, are your hosts, Toby and Colin. Toby, how was your little escapade the last couple weeks?
You know what? It was awesome. My body hurts. But I've returned. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be back.
Toby did slice up his knee and did not go under the knife, but may as well have. This week, we are going to be continuing the series of going through our combined rankings. Mm-hmm. And this week, we'll be discussing the running back position. So what we're going to do, it's a little bit different just in format because, you know, there's two opinions here. We've now got combined rankings. We're going to talk about the differences a little bit more. Rather than really going in-depth player by player, we're going to bring people up a tier at a time, and we're just going to really highlight those that we, as a consensus, are much higher or lower on than ADP, and also players that we have quite differing opinions on. As always, before we get into it, make sure you find us on Twitter at Deep Dive Dynasty. I'm definitely going to post all of these rankings on our Twitter there too, so make sure as we go along through all these rankings, I think that's the easiest way for you to follow along, look at the different tiers, and we have their age and their ADP where they're going off the board, so definitely make sure you find my tweet there. And also, I don't say this often, but please subscribe to us on whatever podcast app you're listening on. It definitely helps us grow a ton. Toby, the tier number one, what we set up, we got five players in this tier, and they happen to be the top five players in ADP, nothing too crazy. Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, and Jonathan Taylor are our top five players, and these are the guys that, you know, if I am drafting them in a startup draft right now, I know I've got a stud. We have them a little bit out of order. One and two are the same.
I'm the one who had Kamara over Barkley and Taylor. Mm-hmm. I just have to believe in that talent of his and his absolute nature of being a bell cow. Not that the other two guys don't have it,
yeah.
But Alvin Kamara, I don't see him slowing down despite the insane amount of offensive changes the Saints are undergoing. And because of that, that's why I think his talent's going to win out. It's why he's the third overall for me.
Yeah, he, Cook, and McCaffrey are obviously locked into such a huge amount of workload. Jonathan Taylor, we have a little bit lower than consensus. And I think that's just, for me, a bit of fear that, you know, we are really hoping and projecting that he is going to see this massive jump in usage. Someone like Nyheim Hines is going to become less relevant. I think there is a chance that that never really happens. Maybe Marlon Mack comes back and is a bit more relevant, although who knows, his injury he's coming off of is very significant. And then Saquon Barkley there at four, I believe he's probably the most talented running back we've ever seen come out of the draft.
Generational talent.
Obviously drafted at two, and he is just tied to the injuries he's had over the last couple of years, and just you need to hope that he can return to form. If he can, getting him at four is fantastic. He'd be going at two, I would say, just behind McCaffrey. But there are questions with the offense, with the offensive line, and the fact that maybe, just maybe, he's not quite the same level of explosiveness, and that's why he's only a couple spots lower. We still have him at four here. The next tier is a big one, and we discussed trying to cut this tier in half, but honestly, these are a lot of players that are valued very similarly, so we think it's important to have these guys in one tier, and it goes all the way from 6 to 16 in our rankings, and honestly, I am very happy if any startup draft I leave with two of these guys in the top 16. That's what I would ideally come out of any draft with. You've got Aaron Jones, Nick Chubb, Antonio Gibson, Najee Harris, Ezekiel Elliott, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, DeAndre Swift, Austin Eckler, J.K. Dobbins, Joe Mixon, and Derrick Henry. First, Aaron Jones, we are a good amount higher on. I think some of that has to be the market not yet correcting when you're looking at ADP to the fact that Aaron Rodgers has locked in for another season. Obviously, whatever is the most upcoming season is the most important, even in Dynasty. We have him at 6, whereas ADP has him at 13.
I think that's wild. Aaron Jones is locked into huge money. Mm-hmm. Not only does he have Aaron Rodgers coming back, even if he leaves at the end of that season and Jordan Love comes in, they're going to want a great running game to support that quarterback. Aaron Jones is a phenomenal runner and pass catcher.
Yep.
I know you got A.J. Dillon. I know the quads are catching up, but Aaron Jones is locked and loaded. I'm very, very sure about his future being great.
I am too. He also just signed a big money contract, so he's going to be locked in for a few years. And if you think about the departure of Jamal Williams, I think a lot of that work that Jamal Williams had in this offense is still going to go to Aaron Jones. He was used in those like 2-minute drills. And as the pass catcher, I expect Aaron Jones to eat up more work than we've even seen in the past few years. So considering him a top 5 redraft asset totally makes sense in my mind. We also have Antonio Gibson a little bit higher. I think that's just our belief in the talent. He's another guy you got to project a little bit that he's going to see more of a receiving work. But this is a wide receiver out of college. If he can eat up a little bit of that receiving work, even if it's not this year, next year maybe, JD McKissick's likely to get a new contract, maybe go somewhere else. If Antonio Gibson can eat up a little bit more of a target share in probably a better offense than we saw him in year one, he could become that like top tier elite guy and jump up into that number one tier be talked about with those Dalvin Cook type guys. Then we've got Najee Harris right around consensus, Zeke right around consensus, Clyde we're a little bit higher, and Swift we're a little bit lower on than consensus. And I think the difference between those guys really comes down to offense, honestly.
Absolutely.
In the short term, one of these two, you know, will have so much more touchdown opportunity than the other. DeAndre Swift is a fantastic talent. I think he's more talented than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think that's pretty easy to say. But what you're going to see, especially in the short term, is that he probably won't be able to produce at quite the level Clyde will, just because those touchdown opportunities, the efficiency that the offense will move at, just won't be the same. Then we've got Eckler, someone that we're both pretty high on. J.K. Dobbins, someone that we don't believe in as much as ADP. Joe Mixon, we're right on the mark. And then Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry's the first guy that we need to talk about because we
have... big discrepancy.
Yeah. First of all, we have him here at 16, whereas ADP technically has him at 6. I don't think that's super representative. I've been in a lot of startup drafts and I don't often see him going off the board that high. But beyond that, me and Toby also view Derrick Henry a little bit differently. And so I want you to make the case of why Derrick Henry should be higher up this list.
Derrick Henry's previous stats largely make the case for himself in terms of he's been an unbelievably dominant force. Last year, I went into the season feeling nervous. Are the wheels going to go off, essentially? Mm-hmm. And he's been leading the league in rushing for years.
Yeah.
Quite literally years. So in terms of being a dominant force and a threat, Derrick Henry is there. He still, somehow at his size, has the home run threat, which I find very attractive when I'm looking at an asset being a running back. But he's 27, and this is not a light scampering man. I don't want to say the term damage, but at least the usage he is putting on his joints has to be unbelievable at this point. And I understand why he is low. I just cannot disrespect the fact that every time he's on the field, defenses have to stack boxes. Defenses have to account for him. And when they don't do that, for example, when Julio Jones and A.J. Brown start to mesh together, hopefully, I think he's still going to be able to catch screen balls, even though he's not amazing at it, and continue to be this dominant force. I find that injury and that fall off that running backs have, I don't see it happening for the next couple of years. Guys in this tier, they're so similar for so many reasons. The reason I had him so high is because I feel that I'm so confident in his athletic abilities. I'm fine to take the risk and just hope he doesn't get injured and hope he doesn't downgrade because of what he could be for my team.
Mm-hmm. You touched on a lot of my reasoning for having him a bit lower. It does feel a little bit crazy to me because he's 27 years old, but 26-year-olds that we've already talked about. You've got Dalvin, Kamara, Aaron Jones, Ezekiel Elliott, and Austin Eckler are all 26. Like, this isn't a huge difference, and I'm not really discounting those guys. It is that play style that makes me
more
concerned.
It's so ground and pound.
It is. It's just, you know, he's getting the rock like 30 times, and he's not Kamara, like, running an open space and avoiding players. Like, no. He's either stiff-arming them into the ground or just running right into them. And there are cases to be made that early in his career, he wasn't getting quite that level of work. But I just don't expect Derrick Henry to continue to be the beast that he is for much longer. So, I mean, when we're talking trades, he's the type of guy that you're either fully going for the championship this year, or you should sell him, in my mind. Like, I can't imagine his value really going up from this point on out. maybe mid-season. That's going to be like the full peak that you'll see for the rest of his career. He's just someone that I love all the players in this tier so much, so I would prefer to go with one of these other guys with a little more youth, a little more future upside, even though Derrick Henry probably has the best outlook for the 2021 season. The next tier, I was just looking at it while you were talking. We actually have ranked from RB17 to RB23 the exact guys that ADP has going from RB17 to RB23, just in a different order.
That's wild.
It's David Montgomery, Josh Jacobs, Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders, Cam Akers, and Chris Carson. So, like I just said, we aren't far from ADP on any of these guys. So many of these people I'm very happy with. I would say, other than the total wild card thrown in the mix of Cam Akers, these guys, if you have one of them as your RB3, you're in a fantastic position. And even with one of them as your RB2, you can be pretty confident they're all going to give you really good production. But the really interesting conversation I think to have within this tier is Cam Akers. And ranking him is difficult for sure. We have him here at RB22. And without that injury, I had him as the draft class last year's RB2. So that would be between Jonathan Taylor at 5 and Antonio Gibson at 8. Like, this guy is a great commodity for fantasy if he can come back from the injury. The problem is, he's got this ruptured Achilles. And as we've pointed out once before on the show, Donta Foreman is probably the best example to date of someone who has suffered from this injury at the running back position and come back from it. That's not a great sign, clearly. Donta Foreman, maybe he was never going to be anything to begin with. He was still a prospect at the time where he got hurt. But the fear that that puts into me when I'm investing quite high, let's be honest, at RB22 in Cam Akers, it's really difficult to pull the trigger on this draft choice. But the upside is so clearly that he can just come back and be that top 10 running back. We know the talent is there. The opportunity in that offense is fantastic. He's just the pure upside, but no floor option to go for. I think if you are going into a startup draft, or even you're just a team multiple years into your dynasty league and you are rebuilding right now, I'm all about going to get Cam Akers, because there is no better asset for a rebuilding team than someone that's putting you up 0 points per week but could blow up and be way more valuable in a year or two from now.
Yeah.
The next tier from RB24 to RB30 is Daryl Henderson, Kareem Hunt, Trey Sermon, Miles Gaskin, Chase Edmonds, James Robinson, and Michael Carter. So the first guy, if we're just talking about compared to ADP, we've got Daryl Henderson here at RB24, and his ADP has him right now at 45.
It's too low. Sleeper, get with the program, my guys.
Have
you heard about Cam Akers? We just spoke about him.
I guess that's just not a lot of startup drafts going on right now the Cam Akers injury. But clearly Cam Akers has been lowered down. People just maybe have not caught on to the fact that the opposite should happen to Daryl Henderson, that he has incredible opportunity now. He is going to clearly be the lead guy in an offense that we've seen feature one back. Like, all the arguments for why Cam Akers could blow up before his injury are the same exact arguments for why Daryl Henderson could now blow up on this LA Rams team. I really like the offense. I think they can scheme him into a lot of touches. And if we are talking about a short-term asset, he's one of my favorite guys at value, because I think he'll be really good in 2021. And then realistically, this guy's 24 years old. He has some draft capital from just a few years ago, even if it's not on the Rams. If he plays really well this year, he's probably going to find himself a starting job elsewhere. And this could be that path that every backup running back in the league is hoping for, where he could see his career completely turn around just because of that one injury ahead of him.
Only 24 years old.
Mm-hmm. Similar to what we had in the last tier, a lot of these other guys we do have right around where ADP has them. One guy we did differ on a decent amount, I would say, though, is James Robinson, another guy that Toby's higher on than I am. So, yeah, what is your case for James Robinson?
Well, he made the NFL top 100 list this year.
I saw that. Number 100. Number good for 100. Him, man. Good for that undrafted running back. I was happy to see that.
Obviously, the moment Etienne is drafted, Robinson's stocks plummeted, as they should have. That's the Jaguars not placing faith in a bell cow, and I totally understand that. But James Robinson was simply too good to be ignored and to fade into nothingness. There's a bunch of hype reports out right now. I don't really put too much stock into that, but I feel that Etienne and Robinson are such dissimilar players that they can carve themselves out roles. And I watched, everyone watched James Robinson last year demand a role, maintain that role, and he was able to ratchet up unbelievable stats, getting injured only essentially at the end of the season for a couple games. I just think he's too good for Etienne to entirely take over. Of course he's going to be worse. It'll be markedly worse because he actually has competition now. He will not be getting all these dump-off passes, and that makes sense. But I don't think the Jaguars organization can turn their back on James Robinson. What I think he's going to be able to do, some of the more heavy between the tackles, punching in on the goal line work that they don't want Etienne doing yet.
Yeah. I think what James Robinson represents in this tier is the much more safe option with a higher floor. I just don't think he quite has the ceiling. Like, if we're looking at the other guys around here, Trey Sermon could absolutely blow up. Daryl Henderson, as I already said, I think is a great value at where you can get him right now. Gaskin, if he is again used as the bell cow, will absolutely outperform where you have to draft him. Same with Chase Edmonds, same with Michael Carter. James Robinson's the one guy of this group, and maybe Kareem Hunt could be alongside with him, that he will likely be a useful guy that if you need to throw someone in, he's going to have a decent chance of punching in touchdowns, everything like that. I could see him in a role like you saw Kenyon Drake in on Arizona last year, where he's useful, he's just not getting as much work as you would want. But he just, unless that injury happens to the other guy, being to Travis Etienne, I have a hard time seeing him as that RB1. So I think he's kind of locked in that RB25 range. Mm-hmm. And that is a useful guy. We have him here at RB29 in our rankings. So that's outperforming where you're drafting him. And he's only 23 years old too. So there's definitely a lot of things going for him. I'm just more likely to take a shot on one of these other guys around him because I'm really shooting for that pure upside. So that's why I'm like, okay, I'll go for that Trey Sermon instead, because if he truly takes over that backfield, he will be like a league winner rather than just a solid option. The next tier we've got up from RB31 to RB36 is Damian Harris, Ronald Jones, AJ Dillon, Zach Moss, Gus Edwards, and Tony Pollard.
Tony P.
So this is one where I feel like we're kind of higher on these guys than a lot of ADP has. Like Damian Harris, we have a few spots over. Ronald Jones, maybe a little bit lower. We have him at RB32 instead of RB29, but I don't think that's a massive difference once you're down the board. But once you get into the Zach Moss, Gus Edwards, these are starting to be guys where we have some differing opinions, and also we like them a little bit more than ADP does. So first of all, again, another guy Toby's higher on. At 34, we got Zach Moss.
Zach Moss is too good to do what he did last year again. The Bills offense is too good to not support a better running back.
That part I can kind of agree with.
They are too efficient and too well coached to have two running backs just kind of flounder.
Yeah.
And I think Zach Moss is going to take a step up.
I think he absolutely could. Of course, you've got him and Singletary, who we will talk about later, and I think there's a good chance that the running backs will outproduce what they did last year. Like, last year was disappointing, especially if you consider how good that offense is. I just am not impressed enough by either of them to be confident that they're not just going to replace them in a year or two. Like, I think that's my worry, is that unless one of them can really step up, be that guy, and prove to his team that he can be somewhat of a difference maker, they're one of those teams that is in win now mode, and it might make sense for them to draft a great running back or sign a guy in free agency. Like, I do think there were people out there this year, like maybe a Chris Carson, that if you just tossed him in there, Zach Moss and Singletary become total afterthoughts to me.
That's scary.
Scary argument. Then right after, we have Gus Edwards, and this is the first guy that I am much higher on Toby on. Gus Edwards, I think, is absolutely locked into a solid, solid role in this incredibly run-heavy offense. It also balances out that I was definitely a little bit lower on J.K. Dobbins, not only than consensus, but also than Toby. And we have him here at RB35, whereas ADP has Gus Edwards going at RB46. So even Toby was a good amount higher than ADP. Yeah. I was just incredibly bullish on Gus Edwards. When I look at a bunch of the guys in this range, like the AJ Dillon, the Zach Moss or Singletary, Tony Pollard, these guys that are either a part of a committee or are definitely the backup like an AJ Dillon is, Gus Edwards provides to me the most upside as a handcuff because I know how run heavy this team will be. And also, I know how efficient he can be, partly because Lamar Jackson's drawing the eyes of some of the linebackers, partly because I think he's just a very underrated player. Combine that with the contract that he got this offseason. Like, they didn't need to go out and pay this man as a backup running back, but they did. He's making pretty good money. Sure, I do not think he's going to get the receiving work that J.K. Dobbins does. Obviously, that's why I have him ranked so much lower. But as a strict runner, I think he can be a huge part of one of the best running offenses in the league. And I don't see his rushing share being lower than 40%. Like, I think that's the range he's going to be right around, 40 to 45%. And in this offense, that's super valuable. So I don't have a clue why he would be going all the way down at RB 46. He definitely makes a lot more sense to me up here. I think he's got a lot of upside.
People are just in love with the splash and newness of J.K. Dobbins.
And I love him too. But yeah, it's hard for me to ignore that you got Gus Edwards there also making noise. The next tier is a little bit older for sure. You've got from running back 37 to 42, you've got Raheem Mostert, Melvin Gordon, Mike Davis, Leonard Fournette, Kenyon Drake, and Devin Singletary. And besides Devin Singletary, the youngest man in this list is 26-year-old Leonard Fournette. So these are more the guys that you know you are banking on for this season and not much beyond that, because you cannot put your hopes into long-term future for 29-year-old Raheem Mostert, but they can absolutely be useful players. There's a great chance that one of these guys will be super useful for you in redraft and super useful for you to win a dynasty championship in 2021. It is somewhat difficult to pick out which guys are going to be the most useful though. My favorite of the group, and I was a good amount higher than Toby was on this guy, is Raheem Mostert. I think this offense, first of all, isn't going to be immediately committed to Trey Sermon or really anyone else in that backfield, as they always have a bunch of guys. I think Mostert can be the leader of this backfield and be quite efficient or even featured within this very potent offense. So he's someone that I'm definitely looking at if I'm in that more win now mode, or if I'm in a startup draft and maybe, as I was saying, I wanted two of those top guys. Maybe I didn't get one. Maybe I only have one, but then I've got some players like Michael Carter or Javonte Williams who have some more future upside. Well, I'm going to go for Raheem Mostert to pair with those guys, so I'm more confident in that RB2 spot on my team, especially because, you know, we have him right at where he's going with an ADP of RB37. That's quite late, pretty far down your draft board where you have to take someone like Raheem Mostert. Beyond that, the rest of these guys, you got, you know, Gordon, Mike Davis, Fournette, Drake. I think any of them could step into that large role, but they all have big question marks around them, for
and
sure.
And they're largely 1 year. Mm-hmm. Explosion yeah. type of guy.
Totally.
Like, I'm not saying that Mike Davis is going to be bad next year.
He could be great.
There's it's a chance possible. He comes in and he's like a top 12 running back.
Mm-hmm.
It would kind of blow my mind.
Yeah.
Because there's so many guys more talented and on better offenses, but it's not unthinkable.
No.
What is unthinkable is that Mike Davis, at 28 years of age, being essentially a journeyman, is
totally
able to land another lucrative contract that ensures his future starts.
Yeah, totally. You look at these guys as 1 year, and with some of them, even someone like Melvin Gordon, I feel like you've got a half year of production before Javonte Williams really just takes over that backfield. Then the final tier we're going to talk about today, from 43 down to 47, and that was just kind of where the tier break ended. These are all the players that I think are super important to have out of your dynasty drafts. Of course, there's a lot later, but this was just a good point, we thought, where there was a drop-off of talent. And going downwards, we have James Conner, Philip Lindsay, Chuba Hubbard, Jamal Williams, and Alexander Mattison. So it's a little bit of combination of those, you know, short-term running backs similar to the tier above, and also some good handcuff guys with a good amount of upside underneath.
One guy I want to highlight is Jamal Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Williams is too good at pass catching to not accrue a decent number of targets, especially with Goff as his quarterback now.
Yeah.
I really believe that Jamal Williams, despite having to compete with DeAndre Swift, I totally get that.
Yeah, like, clearly, like, Swift is a better receiver.
He's a better receiver. He's a better all-around player.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Williams is still going to have those games that he had next to Aaron Jones, where he comes in and you go, oh yeah, he's actually a pretty amazing athlete.
Totally.
And I still think he's going to have those games in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. He got paid reasonably well this offseason by the Lions, and You're right. He is kind of that all-around back in the same way Swift is, just to a lesser degree.
Yeah.
That it's hard to say confidently, like, oh, he's going to be their goal line guy. Oh, he's going to be their receiving. Like, no, Swift is going to do a little bit of everything. But I do expect that Jamal Williams will spell him enough to, first of all, just be frustrating for DeAndre Swift owners. I think that'll definitely be an experience people are going to go through if they're really relying on Swift to put up high fantasy points this year. But I agree that Jamal Williams, we have him here at RB46, whereas ADP has him at 51. He's someone that I think his floor is much higher than RB51. Like, he will definitely do quite a bit better than that in year one on the Lions. James Conner, we mentioned a couple weeks ago, I think the upside is still there that he could be used more than Chase Edmonds. Chase Edmonds is definitely a better bet in Dynasty, not only for a bunch of reasons, like the fact that ADP does have him higher, he is the more projected guy to be the lead of this backfield, but I do think James Conner has a chance. The reason why he's so much lower than Chase Edmonds, though, is if James Conner takes over that role this year, I'm still not that confident in him next year. Whereas if Chase Edmonds can really take control of that role, then you've got something there. Like, you really have a very useful dynasty asset that could be good for a few more years down the line. Then another guy I just kind of want to mention because of the news that's been coming out lately is Philip Lindsay.
Is he back?
I mentioned this before the show. I was like, are we too low on Philip Lindsay? Like, all these reports are coming out now that he could just take over all the rushing work in this offense. Like, David Johnson seems to be, like, tossed to the side. They're saying they want to use him like they used Duke Johnson last year. I don't expect Mark Ingram or Rex Burkhead to be very relevant at all in this offense. So Philip Lindsay kind of feels like a sneaky ad, but the problem is it's still the Texans. They're going to be really bad. And also, like, Phil Lindsay, I know he only had his crazy rookie season a couple years ago. He is 27, which is a lot older than I pictured him as, for sure. And yeah, he just doesn't feel to me like a guy of the future at all, even if he's somewhat useful this year. He's going to be useful in the same way that, like, Leonard Fournette is. I look at him in the same way. Leonard Fournette's not a guy that'll be a starter in 3 years. There's almost no chance. So that's it. That is our oddly top 47 running backs. But there definitely is some other guys you can get at value down the board. There's, of course, pass catchers like Nyheim Hines. You get J.D. McKissic. There's some rookies that have some upside, like Kenny Gainwell or Ramondre Stevenson, who could really establish themselves as a useful part of their offense. Like, there is some more value to come from further down the board. But these are just the guys we really wanted to highlight. If you have any questions about how we rank other certain guys, just where we have them valued at in our own projections, hit us up on Twitter at Deep Dive Dynasty. We're definitely willing to answer any questions you have, help you through that, just valuing all of your players and seeing if they're worth holding on to or if they should be guys you're targeting in trades, all that. Love all that discussion. Yeah, hit us up over there on Twitter. But that's it for this episode. Besides, Toby, now that you're back, I've got some hints for you again, and it's time for the return of the Dynasty Buy of the Week segment.
I'm ready. I haven't been tested in months.
You're cold.
I'm ice cold.
If you're curious about how the rules of this game work, I'll definitely put it in the description below, so just look down there. But it's time to get into hint number one. And here is your first hint. On a points per game basis, this player was the wide receiver 8 last season.
Points per game basis doesn't tell me a lot if you're out there guessing along with me, listeners, because he could have played only one game. Mm-hmm. Could have played 17 games. Nope. Yep. He could not have.
Not 17, nope.
And it doesn't matter. That didn't happen. But it also tells me he's pretty great. I will go with Tyler Lockett.
It's not Tyler Lockett.
Okay.
Hint number two. Previewing our next episode, this player's current Dynasty ADP has him going off the board at wide receiver 49.
Wide receiver 49. That's low.
Well, low for someone that was wide receiver 8 in points per game.
There's no way this man played 16 games. There must be some sort of malady. Wide receiver 49. It's not an afterthought, but when you take the top best wide receiver of every team, it's 32, and he's still lower. I will go with Nelson Agholor.
Decent guess, but it is not Nelson Agholor. Probably another good dynasty buy. I could see him taking over as that Patriots wide receiver 1 this season. Hint number 3. is when you think of injury-prone players, this is probably one of the first to come to mind, even though he missed zero games to injury last year.
Will Fuller. Yeah.
He
came into my mind, last hint, and I have no excuse as to why I didn't voice him.
That's fine. Yeah, basically, my other hints that I did not give is that he's 27 years old and he signed a one-year, $10 million contract with a new team this offseason. And as a big deep ball threat, this man is full of speed. His name's Fuller. That was the joke there, just so you know. Yeah.
Just brimming with pace.
Will Fuller, I do think, at wide receiver 49 is a good amount too low. He did miss 5 games last year, but that was because he got suspended. And that suspension actually goes through this season too, just for 1 week. We'll see him in action on the Miami Dolphins in week 2. I think people are fearful about the fact that he has more target competition now and people don't believe in Tua. I understand all that, but this was a weird offseason where wide receivers, other than Kenny Golladay, were signing for not very long and not very much, because these teams did not have the capital to put towards their assets, obviously because of COVID. But a good amount of these free agents sign these one-year deals because that's not necessarily where they're expecting to be super long-term. It's basically a one-year tryout to get a big contract next year.
True.
I think a huge amount of the suppression of the ADP of where people are willing to go get Fuller is just thinking about 2021 and nothing else. He is 27. Like, sure, that's not, like, really young, but he has potentially, like, 4 more good years left. And so far, when he's been on the field, he has been very productive throughout his entire career. I expect that as long as he can stay healthy for this year, he will get a much bigger contract next year, whether it's for the Dolphins or someone else. Like, I could see the Dolphins maybe not having Parker, and their two guys are Jalen Waddle and Will Fuller. That's absolutely possible. Regardless, this year he's going to outproduce wide receiver 49. I project him as their wide receiver 1 in 2021, not by a huge margin. I think they'll spread the ball around, but still, I think he will be the top target. And beyond 2021, I really expect, if he can just have one good season, it's all you're betting on is one good season, he will get a much bigger contract and be way more relevant next year. I think this ADP of wide receiver 49 potentially could be laughable in a year.
I like it. I've been a fan of Will Fuller for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I just have rarely had the guts to have him on my team.
Yeah.
And thus far, it hasn't really let me down, I won't lie.
Yeah, that's true. He basically has only had a couple good years. Like last year, until he got suspended, he had one game, and I did say he missed no games to injury. He did leave one game somewhat early, and he actually scored 0 points in that game. And including that 0 points, he played 11 games. So it's not like a tiny sample size.
Yeah.
And he was the wide receiver 8 in points per game. Like, that is a lot. And sure, he was in a much better situation than he likely will be in the future. He had Deshaun Watson. He was the number one target. But he's a talented enough player that wide receiver 49 is just insane. I'm not sure where he's going to exactly land in my wide receiver rankings next week. You'll have to listen to find that out for sure.
A little tease.
Yeah. See you then. But I can guarantee it's going to be higher than wide receiver 49.
Yeah, I buy that.
That's it, everyone, though. That is our 71st episode of the Deep Dive Dynasty podcast. As always, check us out on Twitter. Subscribe to us on your podcast app. And we will again talk to you in a week. Can't wait. Thanks so much for listening, and have a good one, everybody.
Peace.